For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
Ready? See if you can identify these five clips in the order that they're played. It could be from a song, a movie, a TV show, or something else. But if it's coming from this podcast, then you know that it's from Generation X. Listen closely. Good luck.
The Jack Putter Machine, zero defects.
A bride without a head.
A wolf without a foot.
Lead on, adventurer. Your quest awaits.
Hello, and welcome to Who Will Save Generation X? The trivia game show that is dedicated to remembering, celebrating, and preserving all the wonderful qualities of Generation X through games, trivia, and friends. I am Zabe, your host, and today the judges and I are honored to take part in Podcast Fest 2024, brought to you by our good friends at Poduty Live Events. Our show is normally about an hour, and it's going to be tough to save our Gen X pop culture with a condensed format of just 30 minutes. So we have this condensed version of the show to present to you tonight. You don't have to be a Gen Xer to enjoy the show, and we try to include something for everyone, for every generation, that you might especially like. Here's how we play. Each episode, we invite a special guest and let them set the benchmark score for you to try and beat at home. Each round has a different game for you to try out, and at the end, you can compare your score with that of our special guest benchmark and earn your rank on the quiz. It's going to be really tough for all of you to beat our special guest score this episode. More on that in a minute. But for those watching live online with us tonight, please feel free to put your answers in the comments and the chat while we play, and we'll check at the end of the episode to see who has the high score. We start out each episode with a game within a game called The Power Struggle.
The Power Struggle.
In this game, you'll hear five quick clips from Generation X, and you'll need to name those five clips in the order that they were played. If you get all five correct and in the correct order, then you will receive The Power.
The Power.
The Power is going to be a little different this episode tonight versus how it normally works on the podcast. But if you can solve The Power Struggle by identifying these five Gen X clips, then we will use it as a tiebreaker should anyone end up with a tie with that of our benchmark score that our special guest is going to set for you in a little bit. If you don't know it right away, don't worry, because we'll play the clip several times during the episode. So listen close and see if you can solve The Power Struggle. Listeners, let's now meet who you're going to be playing against. Our special guest this episode is a fellow podcaster who many of you have already watched on the main stage here yesterday at the Podcast Fest. Her show is called Accelerated Culture Podcast, and the show is a walkthrough through the often ignored bit of alternative and new wave music history. They explore how new wave stormed the airwaves in the early 80s and gave way for a rise of alternative music. She is a Gen Xer that knows a lot about a lot of things. Please welcome to the show, Lori. Thanks for being here, Lori.
Zabe, thanks for having me.
Lori and I have a mutual friend in Jeff Revilla, the founder of Poduty Events and host of Podcast Fest 2024. So I thought it would be a good and appropriate episode and venue to have you on with us, Lori.
Well, thank you.
Jeff is a podcasting godfather who has opened a brick and mortar podcasting theater. It is a beautiful place where podcasters can physically go and host their shows in front of a live studio audience. Jeff had a dream, and he made that dream happen. And speaking as an independent podcaster, and Lori, I know you'll back me up here, we all go into this thing with a goal and a dream in our hearts. And I feel like if one of us make it, then kind of in a small way, all of us makes it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the independent podcast community, I think we really try to support each other. So I'm really excited for Jeff and for this new venue that he's created.
So I'm honored to support Jeff in any way I can and help making his podcasting dreams live on. It's a beautiful thing that you've made here, Jeff, and thanks for letting me come along for the ride. I have a goal and dream to one day make it all the way over to 408 Corbett Street in beautiful downtown Tarentum, Pennsylvania, and do an episode live in his theater. And until we can make that happen, we're excited to do the next best thing and do the show virtually here at Podcast Fest tonight. If anyone listening would like to have more information about Jeff's podcast theater, you can go to poduty.com. That's P-O-D-U-T-Y.com. It's amazing that that was still available when you registered it, Jeff. But we hope you'll check out our good friends at poduty.com.
It's your duty to Scootsy, down to Poduty.
Now, Jeff also hosts a trivia event in his theater, and Lori has competed in many of these trivia events and is the undisputed, undefeated champion of all the trivia nights that Jeff has hosted. She has beat all comers by an overwhelming number of points. And when it comes to trivia, she can only be described by one word, and that is dominant. It would take some sort of super genius to beat her at trivia. So we'll see if you can beat her benchmark score tonight, or if you have to go back and refresh the memory of your youth. So everyone grab a pen and paper and keep track of your score, and we'll see if you can outscore this highly knowledgeable Gen Xer or not. It's time to see if you can save Generation X from being forgotten.
All right, I'll give it a try.
We're going to jump right into round one now and get the games rolling.
Round one.
Most games wait for their final round to bust out a lightning round, but since we're Gen Xers, we kind of make up our own rules, and we're going to start with a lightning round in a game we call What the Blank.
What the
blank.
The game is I will read to you a list of fill-in-the-blank statements, and you will have 1 minute to give as many correct answers by filling in those blanks within the time limit. Our podcast is for sure a family-friendly show. However, a listener wrote us and said that the game is more fun playing at home when you fill in the blank with an inappropriate word. So for those playing at home, if you don't know the correct answer, you know what to do in order to still have a fun time here. So let's play What the Blank. You'll score 1 point for each correct answer. If you get stuck, say pass, and we'll come back to it if there's enough time. Each list has a theme and a total of 10 fill-in-the-blank statements. The theme for today is melancholy and the infinite blankness. The following 10 fill-in-the-blanks will be song titles from the alternative music band, The Smashing Pumpkins.
Boy, okay.
Laura, you told me you know Smashing Pumpkins songs.
I do. I don't know any deep album cuts, so we'll see.
We'll see. Lori, your show is all about new wave and alternative music genres, and for a four-year span in the early 90s, arguably nobody put out better alternative music than the Pumpkins. So this seemed like a fitting band for you to try out here.
And Billy Corgan is a Chicago native, so
that works out. If you can't tell from the accent, Lori's from Chicago.
I am.
We will only have songs from the Smashing Pumpkins' first three albums of Gish, Siamese Dream, and Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness. I hope that helps.
It does, yes. Although I don't think I know any songs off of Gish. But that's fine. That's fine. We'll see what happens.
That's the lesser, right? Of those three, that's certainly the lesser. They kind of ramped up.
Yes.
Siamese Dream is a almost perfect album, by the way.
Absolutely.
Track for track, there's not a bad one on the list.
Absolutely.
Let's put 1 minute on the clock and fill in the blanks to these song titles. Bullet blank butterfly wings.
With.
30 blank.
Pass.
Cherub blank.
Rock.
Blank USA.
Pass.
Blank tonight.
Pass.
Blank D-Lock.
Pass.
1970 blank.
Nine. No, eight. No, nine.
Nine. Blank boy.
Pass.
Farewell blank goodnight.
And?
Last one. Blank. Here's the hint. It's off the Siamese Dream album.
Today?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Blank USA.
Yeah, I got nothing. Smashing Pumpkins is one of those bands, like, I know the songs when I hear them, but I don't necessarily know the titles of all the songs, so.
Their titles are tricky, because A, you can't understand a word Billy Corgan's even saying. let alone pick them out in the lyrics of the song. He has a lot of songs that are titles don't really appear in the lyrics, not often. Mm-hmm. So let's go back over the list. Bullet with Butterfly Wings, you got. 30 Blank was 33, the song 33. Cherub Rock, you got. Blank USA, that's Geek USA. That song has some of the best guitar of any alternative song, for my money at least. Love it. Tonight, you got Blank the Lock was Cupid the Lock. If you remember that song, that's probably the deepest cut on here. It's a beautiful song. It has like a harp or something like that in it. It's gorgeous.
Okay.
79, you got, which is a bit of a tricky one. Blank Boy was Space Boy. We kind of stretched that out into two words, but Space Boy. Yeah. Song about Billy Corgan's little brother.
Oh.
Song 9 was Farewell and Goodnight, you got. And for number 10 was just Blank. We would have accepted Quiet, Today, Hummer, Rocket, Disarm, Sama, Mayonnaise, Luna, or, you know, the last one. Of the 13 tracks on Siamese Dream album, only 3 of them are not one-word titles. So any of those would have got you the correct point. Hardcore Pumpkins fans will know that the missing title from the list, but since this is a family show, we cannot say the missing part of that song title that starts with silver and ends with a word that sounds like Buck.
Uncle Buck?
Yeah.
So here you talked me up that, you know, I know all this stuff and I'm this absolute like trivia genius. And yeah, right now your audience is like, not so much.
Well, we'll see. Did anyone out there beat 6 out of 10 on this list? Tell us in the comments. We'll see, Laura. You might still be dominating. You don't know. That was a tough list.
It was.
I ranked up the difficulty factor for you on this one because I know you can do it.
Okay. All right. Well, 6 out of 10, that's a D. So
hey, D's get degrees. I would not have a high school diploma if D's did not count. I'm thankful for my D's.
Okay.
Family show. Okay. Before we start round 2, let's take the next listen to the Power Struggle.
The Jack Putter Machine, 0 defects.
A bride without a head.
A wolf without a foot.
Lead on, adventurer. Your quest awaits.
Round 2.
Round 2 to this episode is our trivia round. Each correct answer is worth 2 points. Good luck. Our first question this round is titled Frizzy Frizzy Bang Bangs. It's an 80s hair fashion question. 80s fashion was characterized by boldness and volume, reflecting the spirit of Gen X vibrant pop culture. Iconic hairstyles like the mullet, big hair, and the pompadour became synonymous with the era, often adorned with colorful accessories and excessive hairspray. Your question is, what is the term for the method of styling usually straight, long hair so that it becomes wavy, often in a sawtooth or zigzag fashion? This is multiple choice. Is it A, crimping, B, cropping, C, wavy chopped, or D, the finger wave?
Okay, well, I had short hair throughout the 80s and 90s, so I did not use this. However, my sister had a crimping iron. She was going for the Stacy Q crimped look, so that's going to be my answer, A, crimping.
Of course, that's correct. Well done, Lori. Option D, the finger wave, is also a style technique used to make zigzag patterns for your hair, but it was popular in the 20s and 30s for short hair people. It is also the name of a technique used when the loser driving in front of me does not use their freaking blinker.
Get down, run!
Well, Stephanie, gently extend your arm. Extend your middle finger. Very good. Well done.
The next question is called A Very Brady Funeral. It's a television question. Yeah, I'm going to kind of bum me out too. The Brady Bunch was a story of the squeakiest clean American family you ever did see. While rumors of dysfunctional behind-the-scenes interactions with the cast were not uncommon, the on-screen family was idyllic and beloved by many. Dysfunctional or no, the cast did support each other and mostly stuck together, much like an actual family, and for the most part remain good friends today. However, when it came to the show's creators and at least one of the actors, tensions were high. Here's your question. Which character was written out of the series finale when they refused to go along with the storyline where Hair Tonic turns Greg's hair orange just before his high school commencement? Remember that episode, Lori?
Not at all.
Not at all? You don't remember Greg's hair turning all orange?
No.
Okay. Well, good thing for you. This is a multiple choice, so maybe you can luck your way into it.
Okay. Is Cousin Oliver an option? But hey, fun fact, did you know that he was played by the same guy that played Wiz in Kid Video in the 80s?
Is that him?
Mm-hmm.
I think he has the same haircut, didn't he?
I think so.
Yeah. The same glasses, if I remember the character right.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's your multiple choice for who was written out of the series finale on The Brady Bunch. Was it A, Barry Williams, who played Greg Brady? B, Florence Henderson, who played the mom, Carol Brady? C, Eve Plum, who played Jan Brady? D, Robert Reed, who played Mike Brady? Or is it E, Sam the Butcher, played by Al the Plumber from the Liquid Plumber commercials?
Heavy duty Liquid Plumber, powered to disintegrate tough hair clogs.
It seems to me that if it was going to be about Greg's hair changing color, there's no way they could have written Greg out of the script. So if I had to guess, I'm going to say that it was Robert Reed.
Robert Reed is absolutely correct. Way to figure that out, Lori. Smart.
Oh, thank you.
Reed famously did not enjoy his role of Mike Brady when his disagreement with the show's creator, Sherwood Schwartz, came to a head at the end of season 5. Reed was written out of the episode and plans were formed to either replace Reed or write him out of the role of Mike altogether. The show was canceled after season 5, and so Mike Brady was not in the series finale. However, it's sad to think that if we did get a season 6 of The Brady Bunch, they might have had to kill off the character of Mr. Brady.
Stop moping around.
We can only imagine that a season 6 would have centered around the love triangle between Carol and Alice and Sam the Butcher's desire to have them both.
Something suddenly came up.
Family show, Lori. It's a family show. Here, let's move on to the next question. It's called The Other Team Doesn't Have a Clue. This is a TV question. Double Dare first premiered on Nickelodeon in 1986, and it was the network's first game show and the first game show produced specifically for kids. Combining trivia with Truth or Dare, the show started a trend of kid-geared game shows that spread beyond Nickelodeon. Your question is, which is not an option when you are challenged with a dare on the TV show Double Dare? Is it A, answer correctly, winning double the points and taking control from the other team? B, do not answer correctly, awarding the other team double points? C, up the stakes and challenge the other team with a double dare? Or is it D, take the physical challenge?
Okay, so this was not an option?
Right. Which of those is not an option when challenged with a dare?
Okay, well, I didn't watch this, but my sisters and my brother did. So I recognize the last two, C and D. I know those are not the answer. So it's between A and B, and I'm going to go with B.
Do not answer correctly, awarding the other team double points. Are you sure that's what you want?
Yes.
Are you positive?
Stop making me second guess. Yes.
Well, let's try to.
Are we going to make me do a physical challenge? What?
We're going to make you do a physical challenge because you get it wrong.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, that is incorrect.
Okay.
The correct answer is take a physical challenge.
Ooh,
yeah, this one was a little bit tricky. It's kind of a curveball here. Taking the physical challenge was not an option unless you faced a double dare. Hence the name of the show, Double Dare. If you just had a regular dare, you had to double dare them back before you can get the option of the physical challenge.
You tricked me.
I did trick you, but I tried to help you. So
yeah, you did. You did. Okay.
The physical challenge aspect was added as the show creators didn't want the contestants to feel embarrassed for not being able to answer the trivia question on camera. Much like you might be feeling right now, Lori.
Yes.
Having a physical challenge gave players an easy out if they found themselves faced with a tough question. Hey, judges, that sounds kind of fun. Maybe we should add a physical challenge part of the show. Maybe? No. Okay. The judges are informing me that it would not work on an audio-only format, but it would still be fun for me to watch. I think a physical challenge for us aging Gen Xers might be to just have to sit down on the floor without making grunting sounds like Augur from the Dark Crystal. Your next question.
Accurate.
This next question is called Be Excellent to George Washington. It is a movie question. So, Lori, we've given you a band that you don't really know a whole lot about. We've given you two TV show episodes that you've never seen before. So let's see if you know about this movie. I think you might. In the movie Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, the boys are studying for history class and go over all the things they know about George Washington. Which of the following is not said by Bill or Ted to describe what they know about George Washington? You remember this scene. Is it A, he never told a lie? B, born on President's Day. C, father of our country. D, had wooden teeth. Or is it E, chased Moby Dick?
Why don't I remember this specific scene? Oh my gosh. And I'm like obsessed with this movie. Okay, I'm going to say father of our country just because that is like for most people the first thing they'd come up with.
So the only one that is actually and factually true is the one you're going with, the Denizens?
Yes.
That is something a very intelligent and well thought out answer would say, but it's also incorrect.
Okay.
The correct answer is A, he never told a lie. Is what they did not add that factoid in with their knowledge of George Washington.
Okay.
Surprisingly, Ted knows little about American history and confuses George Washington with Captain Ahab from Moby Dick.
Had wooden teeth, chased Moby Dick.
That's Captain Ahab, dude.
Among the hundreds of actors who auditioned for Keanu Reeves' character Ted was Pauly Shore. In 1991, Shore hosted the MTV special to promote the premiere of Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, in which Shore cornered Keanu Reeves to talk about his failed audition. Pauly asked Keanu to do the Bill and Ted air guitar thing with him, but Keanu Reeves refused to do it with anyone other than Alex Winter, his on-screen best friend. By all accounts, Keanu Reeves is a loyal stand-up guy in real life, and although he was very friendly with Pauly Shore, he could not betray his buddy by air guitaring with anyone else than Alex Winter.
Aww.
It's kind of sweet, isn't it? It's hard to imagine anyone other than Keanu playing Ted, and apparently the casting directors agreed with me, as they did not think Pauly Shore could pull off a convincing portrayal of an airhead teenage boy from Southern California.
Okay. I'm in the freaking Stony Individual.
Because I'm the weasel.
Dude, check out the wood you created.
Are you down the chow some serious grind, dude?
Go start to chill and major.
Totally, Pauly.
See, also Encino Man.
This one's called, If I Seem a Little Strange, Well, That's Because I Am. That is a music question. Lori, since you have a podcast centered around new wave and alternative music, we felt the need to have some trivia on those genres. Your next question of the round is simply, which of the following songs would you find the lyrics, I wear black on the outside because black is how I feel on the inside? Is it from A, Suede Head by Morrissey, B, Unlovable by The Smiths, C, Black Celebration by Depeche Mode, D, I Have No Idea, But It Sure Sounds Like Lyrics from Any Song by The Cure off the Disintegration album? Or is it E, Smells Like Nirvana by Weird Al Yankovic?
Oh my God. All right. Well, I know for a fact it's not Suede Head. I know it's not off the Disintegration album because I have that one memorized. What were the other options again? I'm so sorry.
Unlovable by The Smiths or Black Celebration by Depeche Mode, or it could be Smells Like Nirvana by Weird Al Yankovic. It really could be.
It could be. What's the line again? I wear black.
I wear black on the outside because black is how I feel on the inside.
Okay. Well, it's definitely not Smells Like Nirvana.
What if I said the lyrics and played an accordion? Would you change your mind?
Hey! No, because I think you're trying to trick me.
Okay.
You really want me to pick Nirvana, don't you?
No, I absolutely do not want you to pick the Weird Al song.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to go with The Smiths. Because that's the one song that I can't place right now.
Judges, that is correct. Well done.
All right. Process of elimination.
Rumor has it that this line by Mr. Stephen Patrick Morrissey was a dig on Robert Smith of The Cure and the goth culture at large. As a huge fan of both The Cure and The Smiths, I don't like to hear about mommy and daddy fighting. I love them both, and I prefer to think that these lyrics are just more poetry from the Pope of Mope. What do you think about this, Lori?
Yeah, you know, as a former goth, I do appreciate any reference to wearing black on the outside because that's how you feel on the inside.
It's beautiful lyrics, 100%. I think any mopey teenager wrapped up in their feelings would really relate to that song. I know I did.
Yeah.
I wear black on the outside, as black as how I feel on the inside.
Here's the last question in the round. It's called Something, 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 California. It is a music question. Believe it or not, the band Red Hot Chili Peppers used to sing songs that weren't just about California. For example, the song Give It Away is centered on the philosophy of selflessness and altruistic behavior. They make sure that their message is heard loud and clear by repeating Give It Away over and over and over in the song. Your question is, how many times does Anthony Kiedis sing the lyrics Give It Away in the song Give It Away? I'm sure you have this memorized, Lori. Here you go. Is it A, 38 times? B, 48 times? C, 58 times? D, 68 times? Or is it E, 69 times?
69, dudes!
All right. Well, obviously, this is not something I've ever bothered to count. And I see you laughing at me right now.
I'm laughing at you. The question is ridiculous. That's why
it's absurd. Yes. Okay. So Give It Away, Give It Away, Give It Away. Wait,
just Give It Away, Give It Away, Give It Away now.
Okay. I'm trying to think, is it four or is it three Give It Aways in each phrase? I guess it's going to be an increment of four. That rules out a number of them. It's got to be more than 48. So I'm going to go with 68 divisible by 4. Yes, it is. So I'm going to go with 68.
Check out the big brain on Lori. Well done.
Oh, given thank you.
An impossibly nuanced and foolish question. You figured it out by the power of math. Well done. Anthony Kiedis sings Give It Away a staggering 68 times in the song. Option D is correct. Well done.
Don't bother to count that.
Not me. The internet
didn't think so. Okay, all right. And we're taking them at their word.
Sure, why not? If anyone bothers to count how many Give It Aways, please email me and let me know, and we'll do a lengthy retraction to this question. But unfortunately, that means we're going to have to take the points away from you as well, Lord.
I'd like to see you try.
The inspiration for this song is taken from an experience Kiedis had with his former girlfriend, punk rock singer Nina Hagen, in the early 1980s. When Kiedis was looking through her closet, he came across a jacket he liked and commented to Hagen that it was really cool. Upon expressing this, Hagen immediately told him to keep the jacket. Her reasoning behind this selflessness was due to an attempt to constantly make her life more enjoyable, and explained to Kiedis that, quote, if you have a closet full of clothes and you try to keep them all, your life will get very small. But if you have a full closet and someone sees something they like, if you give it to them, the world is a better place. This life lesson gave Kiedis a new perspective on the concept of giving in order to receive. Give It Away has been performed live by the band over 1,000 times, the most out of any of the band's songs, and remains a staple in the band's set list, often closing the show's main set or encore. He has repeatedly told the story of being inspired by his former girlfriend Nina Hagen in interviews, and gives her credit for teaching him the value of giving to others without expecting anything in return, and how that core value gave him the help he needed to kick his substance abuse problems and possibly saved his life. On a side note, soon after they broke up, she sued Kiedis and the band for millions of dollars for not being credited for her role in this song. I'm, of course, joking. That didn't happen. But all this talk about selflessness and giving back seems like a good place to take a quick break and hear this word from our sponsor.
Double Dare will be back after these messages.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? If you're a woman, you're not alone. With over 1,000 hormone disruptors in our environment, it's no wonder things can feel out of balance. On top of that, natural changes like PMS, menopause, and other life stages can leave you feeling tired, irritable, and trapped in a constant battle with your body. But here's the good news. You don't have to suffer through it. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is here to help. This herbal formula fine-tunes your hormones, balancing estrogen, testosterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol, which can contribute to weight gain, racing thoughts, poor sleep, and more. With over 40,000 five-star reviews and a bottle selling every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. Ready to feel like yourself again? For a limited time, get 15% off your first order at happymammoth.com using code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with autopay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save.
$20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.
If you're enjoying the show so far, please consider giving us a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from, and subscribing for future episodes. The only way a show like this gets anywhere in the podcasting world is by positive reviews and word of mouth amongst friends. So, if you're so inclined, please help spread the word about the show and share it with that special Gen Xer in your life. We'd love to have you as a friend of the show. Thanks so much.
You're watching Nickelodeon. Now, back to Double Dare.
Before we start the final round, Robin, can you please give us a scoring update?
Our contestant now has 14. Good job, Lori.
So how are you doing against our special guests, listeners, and those of you watching us on the live stream? Let us know in the comments. We have one more round for you to catch up if you're behind on points, so anything can still happen.
The power
struggle.
The Jack Putter Machine, zero defects.
A bride without a head.
A wolf without a foot.
Lead on, adventurer. Your quest awaits.
Round 3.
Our last game today is one of our newer games. It's called The Audience is Listening. In this game, I'll play a piece of music, and you need to tell me what specific movie that it was featured in. After I play the track, you can choose to ask for a clue to help. Judges, we gotta do this every time we play this game. Let's just play the game. Play the clip, I can save the intro. Okay. As I was saying, in this game, I'll play a piece of music, and you need to tell me what specific movie it was featured in. After I play the track, you can choose to ask for a clue to help you, but for each clue you ask, the question will be worth fewer points. For example, if you get it after the first clue, it's worth 3 points. Two clues is 2 points, and if you need all three clues, then it'll be worth only 1 point. However, if you can get the movie title correct with no clues at all, then you'll be awarded a whopping 4 points for each question. This is where the points can really add up.
All right, bring it on.
I wouldn't be a game show host if I never said that. Okay, here's song number one. Listen up to your first piece of music and tell me what movie that this song is from. So with no clues, Lori, do you know what specific movie that song is from?
No, I don't. I recognize the song. It's I Melt With You by Modern English. And I think it's from a John Hughes movie, but I can't for the life of me think which one. So I'm going to need a clue.
Okay. There's no downside to guessing if you just want to take a blind guess. You won't lose points if
All
you
right.
do a blind guess.
All right. Let's do 16 Candles.
16 Candles is incorrect. But here's clue number one for 3 points. The movie is from 1983, and it was rated R, and IMDb calls it a coming-of-age romantic teen comedy. The tagline for the movie is, "When punk meets prom, the fun begins." When punk meets prom, the fun begins.
God, that's not ringing any bells at all. Let's move to clue two.
Supporting cast members include Elizabeth Daly, a.k.a. Dottie from Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and the band The Plimsolls, who played themselves.
I got nothing.
Nothing?
This is not sounding familiar at all. I'm sorry.
Here's your final clue for 1 point. Starring roles feature Deborah Foreman and Nick Cage, whose characters are a take on Romeo and Juliet in Southern California.
Is it Valley Girl?
Is it Valley Girl? Well done.
All right, I've never seen
one point out of that one.
Yeah, I've never seen it. So,
well, you're still able to figure it out. That's pretty impressive for never seeing the movie.
Yeah, well, it's Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, well, he does leave a mark, doesn't he?
He does. He does.
Many might argue that the soundtrack for this movie is better than the movie itself. That's no knock on the movie. It's just that the soundtrack is that good. How good? The bands The Clash, Culture Club, Bananarama, and The Jam are credited in the film, but did not make an appearance and were left on the cutting room floor. It cost nearly $600,000 to produce Valley Girl, almost half of which were for the music rights alone.
Wow.
Yeah. There's no movie being made today that you could say that. This song, I Melt With You, is in the movie twice, and four different versions of the soundtrack have been released every few years up until the mid-90s, believe it or not. Like so many of our beloved Gen X movies, it was sadly remade in 2020, starring, among others, YouTuber Logan Paul, but it never made it to regular theaters, and it was shown in select drive-ins. And if you really want to reach fans of a famous YouTuber in 2020, then what better choice to make than to release the movie in drive-in movie theaters? Well done, guys. That's well thought out.
Yeah, but you didn't go to the drive-in to watch the movie.
I don't go to a drive-in to watch Logan Paul ever. So I think you're right.
That's kind of a mood killer, I think.
Right. Here's song number two. Here we go. Tell me what movie that this song is from. Keen-eared person might have heard some sound effects also in that clip, because that clip is taken from the actual movie that it was in.
Well, until you said that, I was going to say Ugga Music War. But then since you said that, I'm going to go with Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Judges, I told you not to give the answers away. That is correct. That's a four-point answer. Well done, Lori.
Thank you.
For those of you playing on the webcast or at home, let's run over the clues so you can score yourself. Honesty here. Clue one was the movie is from 1982. It was rated R as well, and IMDb calls it a teen drama comedy. And the scene that includes this song takes place in a mall. I don't know if you could hear some of the mall sound effects loosely in the background. Clue two was supporting cast members include Eric Stoltz, Forrest Whitaker, and Vincent Schiavelli, aka Reverend Gorky from the TV show Taxi. Not sure that last bit would have helped anybody other than me.
Thank you very much.
And clue three was starring roles include Judge Reinhold, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Sean Penn, and Phoebe Cates.
Yes. And Nicolas Cage, again, had a very, very small role in that one.
Here's your fun fact. This is the first song that plays in the movie. It can be heard during the opening scene as the Fast Times at Ridgemont High characters are introduced at the mall. Although the song was becoming a monster hit for the band at the time, the Go-Go's knew that the makers of the film were huge fans before they even made it big. And as a kind of gesture to them and their loyalty, they let them use it in the movie Fast Times, despite being offered much more money to be offered in other movies wanting to use in their films. It's a classy move, Go-Go's. Here's your last piece of music for the round and the game. Tell me what movie that this song is from. Crazy people walking around with blood in their eyes. And all she wants to do is dance, dance, dance. Wild eyed pistol wavers who ain't afraid to die. And all she wants to do is, all she wants to do is dance. And look romance. She can't feel the heat coming off the street. Lori, I know for a fact you've seen this movie.
Okay.
You got a guess for 4 points? Make a big splash and finish strong?
I recognize the song, obviously. It's Don Henley, but I can't think what movie it would have been in. But you say I've seen it. Yeah, I got nothing.
You want to take a wild stab for 4 points?
Real Genius.
Why would you think it's Real Genius? It's a Don Henley song.
You told me to take a stab at it. I don't know. It's the first movie I thought of.
You think Don Henley would be in Real Genius?
No.
If you did, you'd be absolutely correct.
Really?
Well done, Lori.
Really?
Really?
Oh, wow.
Nice work. You see, listeners, I told you she's dominant in trivia. When she doesn't even know the answer, she still gets it correct. Well done.
Thank you. Wow. I'll buy a lottery ticket now.
Once again, for those playing at home or on the webcast, just some honesty here. Would you have gotten it with these following clues? The movie is from 1985. It was rated PG, and IMDb calls this a teen comedy sci-fi romance film. There's a lot of films that are rom-coms, but this is one of the rare rom-fies in the genre. Clue two was supporting cast members include Valley Girl's Deborah Foreman. And despite what the internet might say, actress Sarah Jessica Parker is not in this movie. However, actor Gabe Jarrett is in the flick. Clue three, starring roles include Val Kilmer and William Atherson, a.k.a. the guy from Ghostbusters who has no penis.
True. This man has no dick.
Yeah. The fun fact here is this song takes place in the scene where Val Kilmer takes his fellow nerds to the party to meet the yet-to-be beauticians from a nearby beauty college. If you remember, they fill up that orchestra pit full of they make a little pool and a little oasis out of the fun side fact. They made that pool out of a repurposed, those like slides from a jet plane, those like emergency slides. That's how they made the pool.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
The film was predominantly inspired and loosely based on actual events at Caltech, a.k.a. the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena, California. When Laszlo Holyfield, a.k.a. Uncle Rico from Napoleon Dynamite, sends in a large number of entries to the Frito-Lay contest, he is mirroring the actions of the Caltech students who, in 1974, used a similar strategy to win the McDonald's sweepstakes. Their entries came to roughly one-fifth of the total entries and won them $3,000 in cash, $1,500 in food gift certificates, and a station wagon. No word on if that station wagon had fake wood paneling on the sides, but since it was 1974, I bet even the gift certificates had wood paneling on the side of them. Okay, here's your last listen to The Power Struggle, and then we're going to get your answer, Lori.
The Jack Putter Machine, zero defects.
A bride without a head.
A wolf without a foot.
Lead on, adventurer. Your quest awaits.
Okay, so this is for the tiebreaker. If anyone is tied with Lori right now, if you get it, you're going to break the tie. But Lori, if you get it, you're going to make things very difficult for our listeners. 1 through 5, let us know what you got.
Okay, well, the first one is the theme song from Beverly Hills 90210. The second one, I cannot place it to save my life, although I swear it sounds like Gary Busey. So I'm going to go with Con Air.
Con Air. Incorrect. But okay. Just for funsies, get through the rest.
Number three, Days of Our Lives theme song.
Correct.
Number four, another Nicolas Cage movie, Moonstruck.
This is an all Nicolas Cage show.
I guess so. Five, I can't place. It seems like it's from a video game, but I wasn't really a gamer. So I'm going to go with Jumanji.
Jumanji. Incorrect. Jumanji. Number two was, this is the hardest one in this. My wife makes these and I didn't get number two either, Lori. You're in good company.
All right.
It's from Inner Space, the movie Inner Space.
Oh,
with Martin
Dennis
Short
Quaid.
And D. Quaid. Yes.
Okay.
He says his name, the Nick character's name in the clip, so I thought that might be the good hint for you. And finally, the last clip is from the Porter destroying video game called Dragon's Lair. If you remember Dragon's Lair.
Oh, the animated one, yeah.
That was
a big deal when it came out.
Yeah, it's the first one that I remember that cost 50 cents to play, but it was worth every quarter, in my opinion. I love that game.
That's part of the reason why I didn't play it, because I didn't have the money.
Right.
But it was cool to watch other people play it.
Oh, yeah. If you found someone who's great at Dragon Slayer, you could just post up right there and watch a whole cartoon when you're a kid. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Lori, first, thanks so much for lending your time and talents to the podcast. Is there anything you'd like to plug before we hand out the rings?
Sure. If you're into 80s and 90s alternative music and pop culture, check out our podcast, Accelerated Culture. You can find us anywhere you get podcasts or acceleratedculturepodcast.com. And we're also a 2024 Webby honoree for Best Indie Podcast. So I'm excited about that.
Super excited. That's awesome. Congratulations on that. It's really cool.
Thank you.
So those of you listening might be wondering, what if we tie the score and both of us get the Power Struggle correct? Who wins? Well, in that case, we'll be forced to settle this the same way we did at recess back in the 80s with a chorus of back and forth yo mama jokes. After a few rounds of doing this, then you'll know the ultimate winner when you hear it. Congrats, I guess. Robin, will you please tell us Lori's final score and what the listeners were trying to beat?
Final score for Lori is 23 points.
I'm going to give you an A, Lori, regardless. That last round really cemented the deal for me.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Took me a little while to warm up there. This has been fun. Thank you for having me.
It's been my pleasure, Lori. Thanks for being here.
All right.
All right, everybody. Do you remember your score? This episode, we're using the simplified Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure scoring system for grading the quiz.
Excellent!
Let's go through the ranks. Lori set our benchmark at 23 points. So if you scored more than 23 points, then give yourself the rank of
Ted, Theodore, Logan.
Look, when you're forced between picking between Keanu Reeves and Alex Winter, you go Keanu every single time, right? I mean, if you have the choice between most all of humanity and Keanu, you still probably go full Keanu 99.69% of the time. Ted may not have been the brightest bulb in the box.
All we are is dust in the wind, dude.
But he did have charm, loyalty, and a heart of gold. It was art imitating life. So for your charm, loyalty, and heart of gold towards all the cool things of Generation X, score yourself the top rank on the quiz. You are doing your part to save Generation X. Well done. If you match Lori's score of 23 points, then you still pass the quiz and gain the rank of, who else? Ted's buddy.
I'm Bill S. Preston, Esquire.
Woo. Don't feel bad for earning this rank. After all, Bill was the smart one of the duo. Alex Winter did not go on to have the same kind of career as Keanu, but he for sure did leave his mark in the pop culture of the day. In the movie, however, Bill was every bit the match of Ted, and their bromance ranks up there with all the other Gen X slacker greats like Wayne and Garth and Beavis and Butthead. It takes two to make a friendship work, and the overarching theme of the movie gives us the roadmap to achieve those kinds of lifelong friendships. Be excellent to each other.
Party on, dudes!
Finally, if you scored less than Lori's benchmark of 23 points, well, that's a failing grade, I'm afraid. And that gives you the rank of simply the rejected audition of Pauly Shore.
Aw.
Can you imagine what it would be like to have the real opportunity to be known as either Bill or Ted for generations to come, and then end up only being known as the Weasel?
Weasel.
Absolutely no hate for Pauly Shore here. He has his own place in pop culture. But for coming so close to greatness, only to fall short, we have to give both you and Pauly Shore this low rank for not passing the quiz. Try again on the next episode of The Home Game and see if you can't get a passing grade. Well, that's it for this edition of The Home Game. Thanks for all of you for listening wherever you are. We know you have a plethora of choices for your podcast and enjoyment, and it is simply amazing that you chose to spend a little time on our show. Thank you. It was awesome to be here at the Podcast Fest, and we are about to check in on the live chat to see if anyone watching tonight beat Lori's score. Meanwhile, if you like what we're doing here and you'd like to contribute directly to the show, we have a Patreon account set up at patreon.com/whowillsavegenx. At our Patreon site, you'll see special offers for becoming a contributor to the show, so take advantage of those if you're interested. If you'd like, after the Podcast Fest is over, you can head over to whowillsavegenx.com and learn all about the ways you can do your part to save Generation X from being forgotten. But if you're feeling like a slacker at the moment, you can just email me and I promise to write you back with all the details you could ever want. You can reach me, any of the judges, or Robin at whowillsavegenx@gmail.com. In either case, thanks so much for listening. We hope you'll subscribe to the show for future episodes. But until then, we'll be back with our next episode of the podcast, where we will once again ask the question, who will save Generation X? Later.
I was with Alex earlier,
yeah.
And you know, we
yeah.
talked about the same thing,
yeah.
That how I didn't get the role and stuff, and
yeah.
how, like,
no, man, it's, okay.
No, that's okay, that was my first thing, and plus you're better than me, you know, whatever.
At Ted,
yeah.
For them.
But, you know, but we all auditioned camp, but he gave me, like, a little air guitar, so maybe you can give me an air guitar.
You're a liar, man.
No, I swear.
Did he?
Air guitar, no, man. We both did one of these, just because he felt sorry for me.
No, man, I don't believe that.
You're not going to give me an air guitar?
No, man, I can't.
Oh, my God. Come on, dude, please.
I can't believe that. No, I can't believe that Alex did that.
Oh, he gave me an air guitar. I want an air guitar, Keanu. I deserve an air guitar, man.
No!
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to paint their door a vibrant shade of blue. Others have the need to decorate their bathroom with fish, anchors, and other nautical items. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.